Host your holiday party at Apex Entertainment this year. Book early and save. Receive a $15 Apex gift card for each guest with holiday parties booked before October 1st. With flexible event space, attractions, and customizable menus, Apex is the perfect holiday party destination. For more information, contact the sales team or go to apexentertainment.com.
B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
When it's all said and done, this is going to be one of the best defenses in football. They got tremendous size up front, so they can stop the run just with their front seven. But they're well-coached and talented in the secondary. So they're going to make some plays every game, getting hands on the ball, interceptions. We saw it last week against Tua and the Dolphins. And I think that's the thing. Right now, we're looking, like I was kind of just saying at the end of that clip, it's old-school Patriots. We're going to run the ball. Mac Jones, just make a few plays here and there. And our defense is really going to shut down the other team's offense. And it's Belichick football at its finest. I mean, I think this defense is just going to continue to go in the right direction.
Chris Sims on NBC Sports Boston. Is that not how Bill Belichick would have drawn it up? But does it hold water? Again, Chris Sims says it's going to be one of the best defenses in football. Old school Patriots run the football, defense shut down the opponents, and that's how they're going to do it. Mac Jones, you just take care of the ball, make a few plays, and that's it. That's like such the cliche narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's how they've been?
No.
Have they been one of the best defenses in football?
No.
Through 2 weeks, so they played two horrible opponents, and didn't even get away with it in week one.
Yeah, the boogeymen are back.
So again, I think this is a classic case where someone looks at it on paper and you look at it and you say, well, they've given up 23 points in two games. They've given up however few yards it's been. And you say, well, you know, this is what they're going to be this year and they're going to win their share of games. But when you watch them in reality, you know, the Jets game is really about Zach Wilson, who completely sucked. And the first game, they didn't really get any key stops and they were soft in the middle in both games. So, I think Sims probably looked at it, and I'm not blaming him. Right?
No.
He can't watch all 32 games at the same time. You know, it's impossible. So I get that part of it. But I think if you look at it on paper, you think the Patriots have been dominant defensively, and they have not.
And I think Bill gets off on it. And I think Bill, you know, to his credit again, within a game, will do whatever it takes. And there's going to be games where he knows he's going to have to drop back Mac Jones 50 times and eventually, he'll evolve to a place where it is more of a passing offense, and Bill will do that if he needs to win the game. So I'm not telling you he'll call things just to make himself look a certain way once he gets in the game. He won't. But now that we're midweek, and the punditry is looking at it and saying, well, best defense in football, old school Patriots, run the ball, defense shuts you down, quarterback makes a few plays, that is right up Bill's alley. He gets off on that. And when I see them get to the 5-yard line, in the fourth quarter against the Jets and run it 3 straight times up the middle, never mind them taking over that whole drive. Again, the Jets went for it on 4th and 2 from their own 26 with 4.5 minutes left because there was still a 2-possession game. So what the hell, they went for it. And it was another air ball by Zach Wilson. So the Pats take over at the 25 with 4.5. All they did was run it. They ran it all the way up. And then they get to the 5. Then they get to the 5 north of the 2-minute warning. And they bring in Durant. They even go heavy. They bring in Durant as the extra tackle. And they slammed it into Harris 3 straight times. I think that's Bill trying to control a narrative right there. That's Bill trying to control a narrative as opposed to, now you can second guess and say you give your young quarterback some work there. You know, it's not like he's throwing to these tight ends down here in the red zone or in the end zone at all. And you could get him some work there. Instead, I think Bill loves the fact it was 22 points or 25 points and my guy didn't have a touchdown pass. I think he loves it. I wonder if he was trying to control the narrative there, Mass.
Yeah, so look, again, I tend to think it's more, when Greg said earlier that maybe he was just trying to avoid a pick six, that's what popped into my head.
Not mine.
But again, you know, so what is it? I don't know. Maybe he wants to get the running game going. Because, again, outside of a couple of plays in the first 2 weeks, it's not like they've done much on the ground. They had a 35-yard gain in the first week and a 26-yard gain in the second week, and that was pretty much it. Then you just said they put Durant in down by the goal line. They went backwards. So that's not a good sign either, even if you take it at just that.
If you read Greg Bedard's account on Boston Sports Journal about that sequence, he said, so it's clear that Belichick ordered the 3 straight runs. If you have a problem with it, go ask the HC. And I agree. Like, I think that comes from the head coach. It should come from the head coach. But we are sure of that, right? Like, that's not Josh's plan from the 5-yard line with the extra tackle and slamming it in there 3 straight times?
I highly doubt it. I mean, if you ask McDaniels, I'm sure he wanted to try something there. Like, hey, we're up. Let's try a little bit of practice, you know, something. And, you know, Bill probably when they took, I mean, they ran how many? Like 8 straight plays? I'm sure Bill said just run the ball.
And why?
He wanted to run out the clock and he didn't want a chance turnover.
I mean, that would be my instinct too.
The turnover thing I don't buy.
Well, and here's the other thing. I think that Bill's a little bit sick of the offensive line and, you know, the way they've been playing. And it's just like, you know, give them the reps. I mean, it's just like the Steven Jackson game in Miami. You know, I can tell you there have been games where Bill Belichick tells the coaches going into the games, we're not throwing the ball until we pick up a first down running. You know, and he'll tell them stuff like that. And this is a similar situation, in my opinion.
Okay, well, there was something up there with that sequence. You say that he hasn't thrown it past the goal line the entire season. Well, there was a chance, and for some reason they didn't do it. So you can fill in the blank on whatever reason that is. Jesse in New Bedford. Go ahead, Jesse. What do you got?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Greg, I just wanted to say, besides you, I think it was Phil Perry and Tommy Kern that pretty much pegged that Mac Jones. You know, after you look at the film on him, you know he's going to be a player. And, you know, I just want to say, listen, what Mac Jones is doing is guys got to remember, the Patriots are always a slow-starting team. September and the beginning of October is an extension of the preseason. It's building blocks. And what has Mac Jones done since he's gotten here? He doesn't make the same mistake twice. And each day and each week, he keeps building up and up and up. And
Jesse.
Any other cliches you'd like to
add? I was going to say, could you be a bigger cliche machine? And what do you mean he doesn't make the same mistake? I think he made the exact same mistake twice in a row. 2 games in a row where he got spun around behind the line of scrimmage and sort of lost his place on where he was. And in week one, he threw it backwards for a fumble. This week, he threw it forward for an intentional grounding, but it was a similar kind of play. And it felt like the exact same kind of situation to me, exact same kind of mistake, if you will. So I don't agree that he's not making the same mistake twice. It's just a cliche.
I mean, those two plays were, you know, comparable. There's no question about it. He whipped the ball into the ground both times.
Greg, when you watch the film, are you sure this guy's a can't miss? This guy can totally play, like the caller said?
Look, I'm not going to say that after, you know, 2 games. I mean, do I think he has all the traits?
Yeah. Greg just gave him a D+, D as in dog. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I graded Brady harshly, too. There were games where he played like crap, and I said it. Or
no.
Seasons
I'm
or collective games.
I'm talking to the caller.
Yeah, I mean, look, Mac Jones, in my opinion, given time and that health and improvement and all that stuff, he has the traits that you want for a franchise quarterback. Do I think the Patriots have found their franchise quarterback? Yes.
Okay, well, there you go. Tim in Blackstone. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, guys. Greg, I'm curious as to what percentage of the salary cap the Patriots have allocated towards special teams and where they rank amongst the league. It seems like with the rule changes that are going on, this might be a spot where Belichick has it passing by him. It seems like there's less kick returns, less whatnot, where those players might not have a spot as much as they would have on the team in the past. Just curious as to what you think that effect is having on the team. Thank you.
Okay, special teams only players, Greg. I know you have a feeling on it.
It's something I've been after for years. I mean, look, I think they have way too many special teams only guys for the amount of plays it is now. And I did it out a few weeks ago. I think now...
No, people have sent us the stats. The number of kickoff returns are way down.
It's like 4% of total plays. Yeah. When you group it in with the offense and the defense... Special teams, like, and I think I even counted like kicks that aren't returned. Like, if you just counted kicks that are returned, it's like 1% of plays.
No, that's what we got sent to us. Returns, not the bulk number of kickoffs is high because scoring's up, but the actual number of returns since they moved the kickoff up is gone way down.
It's ridiculous. And Bill seems to throw more resources at special teams every year instead of going down. I mean, I've never understood that. I don't. I know over the cap does positional. They don't really have special teams on there, but like you know, look, use your eyes. The Patriots have Cody Davis, Bolden. Justin Bethel, Bolden is pretty much a special teams only guy. You have Matthew Slater. Look, you can have two guys like that. You want Matthew Slater, you want Justin Bethel, like, okay. But you don't get Brandon King, too. Like, that guy's been on the roster for how long? How many times has he been on injured reserve? Like, no, the numbers are out of whack now. Like, and does it affect the on-field product? Of course it does. But, look, we haven't been able to say anything for years because they have number 12 a quarterback. And he covered up everything. Every ill Bill ever made with the roster. Now we get the referendum. Now we'll see. Is it good to have that many special teams players
no,
or not?
It's not.
Definitely not, especially when your kicker's putting the kickoff out of bounds.
I mean, we said it when Brady was here, but either way, that's been a long nitpick as well. How's your Mac Jones is too short commentary going over there, Greg?
You get a lot of hollering on Twitter?
I got,
get off the internet there, big boy.
It took about like 0.5 seconds for someone to be like, bleh, what about Russell Wilson? Gee, I wonder what the difference is between Russell Wilson and Mac Jones and Drew Brees. I wonder.
He can move?
Yeah.
Let's break early here so we can get in all the time we need for our 10 questions with the big fella right after this.
Hey, Boston. Cannabis delivery is here from LanternNow.com. Getting cannabis in Boston has always been a hassle, but Lantern has changed the game. I can now get my cannabis discreetly delivered right to my door the same day I place my order. Lantern has made it super easy to find exactly the products that I want. I can browse multiple dispensaries at once and count on my order to be delivered same day. So whether I'm unwinding after work or going out for the night, Lantern is just what I'm looking for. So skip the rush hour traffic and get your cannabis delivered today by visiting LanternNow.com/Jim. That's LanternNow.com/Jim.
Please consume responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit forming. For use only by adults 21 years of age or older. Keep out of reach of children. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It's against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact the Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts.
Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to believe it.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Matt.
All right, 10 questions around the league with Bedard in 10 minutes or less. We need to be quick. Jimmy, what are the buzzer options this week, please? Mac Jones is not going to be Tom Brady. He's not going to be close. There you go. Suck on that. He's too short. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hello. Just another throws he made.
Thanks, Bill.
Read one with Andy. What's his name? Smith.
Alex Smith.
Doesn't count.
In my numbers.
Doesn't count.
I don't even have to ask the question. Doesn't count. Go ahead. Why?
Doesn't count.
Why?
What was that from?
Oh, wow.
It was about Mike Vrabel.
Oh, I want Mac Jones to suck. They can go 3-14. I want him to suck.
There you go, girl.
Do you see the return of N'Keal Harry in a couple weeks?
Nope.
No.
We might.
No.
What else?
Poor guy.
That's it.
Okay, hit it. Anyone?
Do you see the return of N'Keal Harry in a couple weeks?
Nope.
No.
We might.
No.
Okay. Number 10. I've long hated the AFCs. Hate it. Which made me think, if you could drop the Patriots into any division and face those teams twice a year, what division would you like to play in?
AFC North. Kick the Bengals to the AFC East, drop the Patriots in there, Steelers, Ravens every year, Browns, whatever. You got the Belichick connection. I'm good with that.
That was one of my two, but my first choice was NFC East. Dallas, Redskins, Eagles, Giants. Oh, it's perfect. I mean, those are all rivalry cities for Boston. All of them. It should be the NFC East.
I'm with Greg on this. AFC North, relegate the Bengals to the AFC East, bump the Pats to the North. They'll have to deal with real teams like Baltimore and Pittsburgh. And Cleveland's now a pretty good team, too.
Maz, right again. NFC East.
Oh, it'd be awesome.
That's the one. Next.
Oh, I want Mac Jones to suck.
All right, number nine. In L.A. on Sunday, Mike McCarthy, Cowboys head coach, with a timeout in his pocket, let the clock wind down from 29 seconds instead of calling for another play, instead settling for a 56-yard field goal, which they made and he won it, but he could have run a couple plays and gotten closer. So why did he let the play clock go down? This is what he said.
You know, one of our players came off that, you know, shouldn't have come off, and just communication there. So then we were just going to run it down. But the clock I was watching went off the board. And then, you know, Clark Kellen had, I think he said a camera. He got blocked by a camera.
What?
What he said there is that the clock he was watching went down. And Kellen is his offensive coordinator.
Yep.
Kellen Moore said his view of his clock was being blocked by a cameraman. So they lost track of the time because they couldn't find a clock. Your thoughts?
Doesn't he have coaches in the booth? Like, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think there's an official clock in the coach's booth that doesn't go down. But in any event, it's just ridiculous. It was terrible by McCarthy.
Let me jump in. Have you ever heard a more blatant, pathetic lie than that? This is SoFi Stadium, one of these new stadiums, right?
Right, yeah.
Where there are massive scoreboards everywhere. Every one of them displaying the clock. Every one of them displaying the time of the game. All over the massive, giant, billion-dollar scoreboards. But all over the place. Never mind the coaches in his ear. Never mind. And he said the clock he was watching went down. And the one that the OC was looking at was blocked by a cameraman.
He sounded like an oaf.
Okay, so my first question is Ernie Adams not working in L.A. for the Chargers where he can disconnect the clocks in the building? That would be number one. Secondly, I don't know whether McCarthy's dumber for what happened or for admitting what he said. It's one of those two. And can Kellen...
It's a lie. The clock didn't go down.
Can Kellen Moore move?
Or is he, it's a lie.
Or is he immobile? Like, can he take a step to his left?
The answer is that it was pathetic. Next.
Do you see the return of N'Keal Harry in a couple weeks?
Nope.
No. No. Okay. Let's be honest now. If the Ravens had come up short on 4th-and-1 on Sunday night against Kansas City, what would we have said?
Harbaugh doesn't want to be a real head coach. He just puts it on his players. I hate this. Like, we went through this 2 years ago when he kept going for it on 4th down, and he thinks he's absolved of criticism because he just says, I'm always going to believe in my players. I'm going to back them. How about you be a mature head coach and say, I don't know, do I want to go for it or not? Don't ask Lamar Jackson. Make the decision yourself.
4th-and-2 all over again. That's what we'd be talking about. Except this time it wouldn't be the Patriots at the Colts. It was not a terribly dissimilar situation. You didn't want to give the ball back to the quarterback on the other side. So we'd be looking at it and going, oh, you jackass, just punt it. Always a chance of a screw-up on the other side. He would have got skewered, you know, like Bill would have. But there was some logic to his thought process.
Maz nailed it again. You don't trust your defense. You took a shot. You failed. You look like a fool. It's 4th-and-2 all over again.
I like Greg's take. It's a cop-out to keep putting it on his players mm-hmm. like that.
All the time.
Oh, my God. It's excellent. Next.
Just another throws he made.
Fill in the blank. Carson Wentz allegedly spraining both ankles in the same game versus the Rams on Sunday is?
Typical. He takes way too many shots. He's never going to last a career.
My answer was perfect. And I used to love this guy. But the fact is, you sprained them both?
Only him.
What a loser.
Hilarious.
Like who could do that?
Hilariously predictable. He's made out of glass. He kind of sucks. He'll be hunting deer in the Dakotas full-time a couple of years from now. He'll be out of the league.
I mean, seriously, if you had told me there's going to be an NFL player who sprains both ankles in a game and is questionable with both ankles, it would be Carson Wentz. Perfect. It's him. Next. Mac Jones is not going to be Tom Brady. He's not going to be close. There are 7 2-0 teams in the league. Denver, Vegas, Tampa, Carolina, Rams, Cardinals, and Niners. Who's the biggest fraud?
Denver. You beat the Giants and the Jags. Whoop-dee-damn-doo.
Carolina is my biggest fraud team.
No, they're good.
Carolina is my biggest fraud team. It's not exactly like they've knocked out 2 Titans either. 2 teams without a quarterback, if you ask me.
They're good.
Denver. They're going to be 3-0 because they have the Jets this week, and then the market correction happens. They'll be sub-500 by the beginning of November.
Okay, I'd go Vegas on that one. They've beaten the best teams. I'm not disputing that. I just don't think they're in it for the long haul. Next.
Read one with Andy, what's his name? Smith.
Alex Smith.
Alex Smith.
Number 5, tool bag question. Who's the biggest tool bag New Orleans Saint of all time?
Greg Williams, the bounty scandal.
Good one.
That's who I had, too. I had Greg Williams. I couldn't think of a tool bag saint.
I could. Convicted rapist Darren Sharper. I don't know if there's any other answer.
Yeah, well, that goes beyond tool baggery right there. Archie Manning?
He crossed my mind. I almost went with Archie.
Well, there you go.
Jeremy Shockey.
Campbell.
Who, I'm sorry?
Jeremy Shockey could be a good one, too.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
It's too baggy. Okay, next.
Doesn't count.
In my numbers.
Doesn't count.
I don't even have to ask the question.
You're doesn't count. Doesn't count.
Go ahead.
Doesn't
why not?
Count.
Why?
Doesn't count.
Why? Bonus tool bag question. On the 1 to 10 tool bag scale, rate this post-game comment last night by Aaron Rodgers.
Even more now than when I started playing, there's so many overreactions that happen on a week-to-week basis. So it's nice to come out, have a good performance, and get the trolls off our back for at least a week. I just think people like to say a lot of and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that.
Scale of 1 to 10 of tool baggery.
8. And what is he doing? I mean, what is he now? The quarterback philosopher bullcrap now? I don't know what's going on with that guy.
10. You sucked last week, for crying out loud. You sucked. You got killed 38-3. Every bit of criticism you got, you deserved. You sucked last week, you especially.
Also a 10. Arrogant, pretentious, humorless ass. And get a haircut. You look like a bum.
I agree.
You beat the Lions.
Whee.
The Lions. And you're puffing your chest out and like blowing people?
Rawr.
Oh my God. That is a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10. Next.
Oh, I want Mac Jones to suck.
Okay, there are also seven 0-2 teams in the league. Jets, Jags, Colts, Giants, Lions, Vikings, and Atlanta. Are any of them a threat?
Nope, they all suck.
So my instinct was to say the same thing, but I wanted to pick one. I still think there's an outside chance the Colts are going to be decent. And look, their schedule at the beginning of the year is brutal. They have a brutal schedule at the beginning of the year. If they survive it, they're going to be okay.
With Forrest Gump with the two leg braces at
quarterback? I know.
That's good.
No, they're all trash.
Vikings, have a chance. Go. No.
They can go 3-14. I want him to suck.
Okay, number two on Instagram yesterday. And these last two we're going to pick up later on in the show and expand because there's some meat on the bone with both of these. On Instagram yesterday, Tom Brady posted a picture of he and Bruce Arians. Do we have it for the simulcast? I hope so. Posted a picture of he and Bruce Arians with the caption, "I got your back, you got mine."
Oh, so cute.
What's that all about, Greg?
It's the Wickersham book. It's the looming Wickersham book. There is some leakage from Team Brady that they're taking sort of subtle shots at Bill because there's stuff in there that we don't know about yet, but they do because they probably had to read the book and comment on it. So there's something going on there.
What's the message? FUBB. That's what it is. FUBB. That's the message.
I don't know how you can think it's anything else. Did you hear Bert on with Zoe and Beetle like a couple of weeks ago? They started like prodding him about the book, and they're like, "Well, has it come off good for Brady?" And he was like, "That's what it is. It's this book. It's the looming specter of this book."
Okay, I got further thoughts on this coming up, but again, a picture of him and Bruce Arians. I got your back. You got mine. Wow. Next.
Do you see the return of N'Keal Harry in a couple weeks?
Nope.
No.
No.
Okay, fill in the blank. The Manning brothers on their Monday Night Football podcast last night accusing the Pats of bugging their locker room was?
Hilarious. I mean, I can't get... Manning's told this story a bunch of times, and I never get sick of it.
Honest?
I was going to go with true.
That's, I also have that, but same thing. Honest, true. Take a pick. I mean, when they said it, I went, "Oh my God, I got to start watching this." That was awesome.
It's a troll job. That's all it is. It's a hilarious troll job.
He huddles with his receivers in the showers because he said his locker was bugged.
Of course he did. Bonus question. Do you think the Patriots bug their locker rooms?
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah, might have.
Yes. Absolutely, I do. Let's pick this up on the other side with your calls. 617-779-0985. First, an update from Big Jim Murray.
Come to Nova Farms. Nova Farms is the official co-sponsor of the Felger and Maz podcast. We have the biggest selection of recreational cannabis in New England. Must be 21 plus to buy. Our dispensaries are located in Framingham and Attleboro, Massachusetts. Our retail staff are on special teams. We give big hits like a blitz. You get the extra point. Sports! For our latest content and product announcements, follow us on Instagram @NovaFarms.
Please consume responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit-forming. There may be health risks associated with consumption of this product. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It is against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts. Massachusetts state license numbers MR281379 and MR282516.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I felt like the Packers were listening to Eli, you and I, our conversation on Friday about we got to come out and run the ball. I think our conversation was bugged, you know, kind of like the Patriots used to do back in the day.
You know, I remember we played the Patriots in that second Super Bowl in Indianapolis, and they practiced at your facility all week. Were you a little nervous going back in your facility the next year that they didn't have, like, cameras in your quarterback room?
Every time I played against New England, I used to go and talk to my receivers, like, in the shower in the far corner. I'm like, don't talk about a play next to my locker because I know it's bugged. I know it's got a hot mic in there. We're in the shower. Very strange to see seven guys hanging out back there in the shower, but take all precautions.
On that Manning Monday Night Football podcast last night. What's your reaction to that, Maz and Greg?
I think it's honest. I think it's honest from both of them. In fact, again, they probably had the discussion before the game when the Patriots beat them in India. I mean, when the Giants beat the Patriots in Indianapolis, Peyton probably said to him, Eli, if you're in our locker room, watch out because the Patriots are there. They got that thing bugged. By now, Belichick's had his spies crawling around that place, sticking microphones all over the place. So watch out.
I love that story. I never get tired of it. The best version is in Peyton's Places, the first season when him and Brady go to Jim Nance's house, which, first of all, the entire episode is hilarious, and I love watching it. But he tells the same story because he's ragging on Brady. And he's like, you know, we had to have team meetings in the locker room, you know, in the shower. He's like, I don't want to look at Tom Moore naked. Like, it's just
Tom Moore's like that 80-year-old offensive coach, if you don't know who he's talking about there.
I love it.
So, I mean, I absolutely believe that the Colts were paranoid to the point where they would not speak in the locker room, speak outside the locker room, speak in the shower, whatever it was, because they thought they were being bugged. I think that absolutely happened, and I think that they had reason to be. They had reason to be. And I saw Jeff Saturday on ESPN this morning sort of reacting to that, saying, absolutely, we'd get in the locker room, and if anyone had their cell phones around, we'd tell them to put the cell phones away, and we were hush-hush, and we'd go outside the locker room or in the shower. And I know that when Brady and Peyton Manning get together now, they rag on each other for who was cheating worse, because someone said on the panel, well, you guys used to turn up that sound in the RCA Dome, which is absolutely true.
Yep.
From having been there. I remember before the story even came out that they turned the sound up, I remember being in there a couple of times being like, where is this coming from? Because when you would look out at the crowd, it was a bunch of freaking farmers sitting on their hands. Like, it wasn't exactly an intense football crowd there in the middle of Indy. But the roar of the crowd, so it was obvious they were doing that. And so Saturday said, yeah, but Manning and Brady get together, they just rag on each other about how each team cheated during that time. And well, the Patriots obviously cheated better because they won. So that's the only piece that, you know, that I think the Patriots fan has a right to push back on. If there's any, you know, implication that that's why they got the better of you, then I would tell you to put a sock in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Peyton Manning has a long history of coming up short in the playoffs, not just against you. There were plenty of home playoff losses to San Diego 1 year, Pittsburgh 1 year, you name it. The New Orleans in the Super Bowl, where you didn't need Bill Belichick bugging a locker room for you to crap down your pants. You crapped it down your pants plenty on your own, pal.
Yeah, and then even when you get to Denver, the game against Baltimore.
Thank you.
So, like, the one against Pittsburgh that year might have been the worst. That was bad. They were scoring all kinds of points that year, and they think they lost the game like 21-18 or something. It was bad. That was a bad one.
So, I mean, there's a level of truth there, and it is funny that Manning's not afraid to just go ahead and say it. But then there's also that element of, well, the Patriots were a little shady. You're fine to call them out for it, but don't take that next step implying that that was the reason you lost some of those games, because it certainly wasn't. I think that's been proven over time as well. I'm sure Carlton in Tampa has an opinion on this. Hi, Carlton.
No, it hasn't.
You know, Tom's Arians quote may be.
Hey, Carlton.
Yeah?
There you go. Hold it like a pizza. There you go.
I got it right up against my mouth. Tom's Arians quote may be because he's still pissed off at Bill throwing him under the bus for the Deflate Gate, which he doesn't expect Arians to ever do to him. My second point is I'm not really concerned with Jones's height, but rather whether his breathing exercises are going to help him when Todd Bowles' insane blitzes put him on his back in week four. And my final point is you guys dismissing the special teams. In the first 32 games, there's been 8 missed extra points. There's been 18 missed field goals. More teams are kicking off to the 5-yard line to try to tackle the returner inside the 20-yard line. Punting inside the 10-yard line is critical for field position. There's been 88 punts inside the 20 and only 15 touchbacks. And Folk has the most field goals made in the NFL, while suck up of the Bucks has the most extra points made. Guess who's scoring touchdowns and who's not getting into the end zone?
Okay, Carlton.
Ran out of steam.
It's good to see you losing your breath still. Just don't lose it all the way. The kicker, we're not talking about the kicker. Go ahead and spend on a good kicker if you want a good kicker. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about guys that cover punts and cover kicks. And I haven't seen the data for the first 2 weeks of this year. But going into this year, Carlton, the number of kickoff returns were way down. Our Boston Sports Inf and we've had other guys run the numbers. The number of kickoff returns are way down. And anecdotally, again, I don't have the punt return numbers in front of me, but it's not like it used to be where there were specialists that would just, you really had to watch out for, like the Dante Halls and the Devin Hesters and these guys. It just doesn't feel like to me that there are, other than Cordell Patterson, that there are these special kick returners anymore where it's a real big factor in the game. So I just disagree with you. I think special teams, the kicking game has never been less important, which isn't to say it's zero. It's just the percentage of impact plays that come in that area of the game are down. They're down lower than they've ever been. And I'm not talking about field goals. Field goals are still important.
And incredibly, because of that, it even tilts the game more towards the quarterback as if it wasn't there before. Like, it's to me, the kicking game now is almost like a secondary or even third thing.
Peter Never, do you have a thought on the Manning brothers last night?
Hey, Naz, I just want to appreciate your point that, yeah, Manning was awfully, awfully honest. But do you think in some way or some form, now that him and Tom Brady are best buddies, that it was kind of like, yeah, pile it on for me. Get my back.
Yes.
Because Manning knows and so does Tom.
Yes. Yes.
You know what? I wouldn't rule that out.
Yes.
I totally wouldn't rule that out.
The answer there is yes.
I had not considered that. And then you were talking about the Jeff Saturday thing where they get together and kind of bust each other's balls.
Because that the bugging the locker room comment goes back to Bill. Notice Manning didn't say anything about deflating footballs or anything.
Right.
It was about all that Ernie Adams special ops kind of stuff. And I bet Brady has no problem with it. No problem with it. And we're going to pick this up off the top of the next hour because I think we might get a little bit of a return of Deflategate coming up here in the next couple of weeks with this book. Just a guess. I don't know. Or it'll certainly be addressed. I'll bring it up. I know that much.
Highlighter's ready to go.
But that crap reflects on Bill. And I don't think Brady has any problem with it whatsoever. Some final thoughts with Greg heading into this week. And last chance to jump on and ask him a question if you want it. 617-779-0985. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Boom Boom Games, your home for 80s and 90s retro video games, wrestling figures and collectibles, vintage toys, cards, comics, and all your nostalgia needs. They've got something for every console from Atari 2600 to the PS5 and Xbox Series X. Looking for a specific video game? They will try to source it for you. Do you have some old consoles or collectibles? Bring them in because Boom Boom Games buys and trades. Boom Boom Games is also your store for Star Wars toys, Pokemon, and the wrestling selection will have you feeling that sweet chin music. Boom Boom Games in Billerica. Check them out.
Do you believe a good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mez.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mez on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How important is the vertical element in the passing game? And can the passing game be considered successful maybe long-term if you're not hitting that with some frequency?
We'll continue to try to work hard at doing that. And again, I know I can do more in that area to give us chances. I think there's also a balance of the timing of the game, the score, the situation itself. You're weighing a little bit of risk versus reward, et cetera. So I think there's a lot of factors there, but the short answer to your question is yes, it's important to have the ability to throw the ball to all levels of the defense and make them defend everything, which certainly would open up other things for you underneath possibly. But at the same time, I think is an important balance between just closing your eyes and heaving it deep when it's really not there.
Okay, more with Josh McDaniels today on the deep ball issue. You have to keep answering until he take a few shots or complete a few. And my guess is Bill's just fine with it. I think Bill gets off on it, on the narrative that he's tightly controlling and managing his quarterback. And I'm with him, frankly. I think it's the way to do it. It's what I think. A few quick calls here, Bedard, before he gets out of here. Brandon in Boston waiting patiently. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. So, this team that they're going against, they're going to have to play hard. All that dinking and dunking and running, it's not going to happen. You got Cam Jordan that wants to knock you in the next week. So, you got Jameis Winston with 5 touchdowns. They let him throw that ball. You're going to have to throw this ball against this team. Granted, Sam Darnold threw 2 touchdowns, but, that was a trap game for the Saints anyway.
Okay, let me just stop you. Saints, where are you, Greg?
Their offense does. I mean, even with Jameis, Sean Payton as a game planner, play caller, all that stuff. They have speed on the outside. Kamara, the Patriots aren't exactly the have a track squad there, linebacker, going up against Alvin Kamara. So that's a concern. Their defense, I was just looking at their personnel. Cam Jordan, we all know. I mean, he's like an all-pro. He's unbelievable. You have to take care of him at left defensive end, which, you worry with the right tackle. But outside of that, I don't know any of these guys. Christian Ringo, Malcolm Roach. I mean, it could be the Montrevious Adams revenge game, who the Patriots signed but cut in the offseason. He's on the Saints. And I know they've had issues in the secondary. They've been looking for cornerbacks throughout. So this is a game where I think, I think the Patriots might have to score in this game. They won't just be able to play it tight to the vest and just, could you get Jameis turnovers? Yeah, you could get bad Jameis and sort of like, what's his name last week? Zach Wilson. That could happen. But I think knowing Peyton, I think they're going to score points, which means the Patriots are going to have to score points, and they just won't be able to do what they've done.
I feel exactly the opposite, believe it or not. I think I'm more worried about the Saints' defense. I think their defense is good. It was good last year. They were in the top 5 in both rushing.
Yeah, but they've had a lot of salary cap issues. They don't have a lot of those guys anymore.
I mean, they played pretty well week one. Maybe that was Green Bay, but whatever. And, so I know they give up 26 to Carolina, but I don't think the Patriots' offense is any great shakes. That Saints' defense worries me.
I think you're getting them at a good time. This is a non-X&O take, but they've been out of their home for a month.
Yeah.
Okay, so they got...
And COVID issues.
They got routed out. Right, exactly, that too. So they got routed out of New Orleans with the hurricane. They had to play their first home game in Jacksonville. They haven't been home since. They're training this week at TCU. They get to go home next week, but... Today,
maybe the place got on fire.
I was just going to say today, the Superdome lit on fire. So it's not like the building isn't burning down, but it was a 3-alarm fire because they were getting ready to paint the roof or something and it lit on fire. So
in a section of the Superdome, by the way, called the gutter tub.
The gutter tub lit on fire. Are you serious?
Yes. The fire happened in I'm reading from ESPN.com. The fire happened in a section of the Superdome roofing called the gutter tub, according to Global VP of Stadiums, Doug Thornton.
What's the gutter tub? Is that like a club?
I have no idea. He just calls it the gutter tub.
Freaking
maybe it's
New
where
Orleans.
They put all the trash.
It's awesome. Yeah. Or no. Well, so maybe it's where the rainwater drains into or whatever. The gutter tub.
Yeah.
It's a gutter tub.
I think my Gillette equivalent is... right in front of Zolak in the booth.
My guess is the gutter tub is where you go for shady dealings.
Well, either way, it lit on fire. So you got a road-weary team that's looking to get home, but then again, their home just lit on fire. And I don't know, I just factor that in. You're catching them at a good time, if there ever is a good time to catch them, my guess. So we'll see.
I tell you, I don't think there's any good time for anything for the Patriots right now.
What do you mean?
I think they're vulnerable. I don't think they're playing well. I think both lines suck. They have a rookie quarterback. Like, and I'm not telling you that the season's going down the drain or anything like that, but I think New Orleans is a legit operation, and I'm worried about their defense.
Well, how about this? Eli in the car, what do you got?
Well, Maz, I don't think many people expect Mac to go in there and win, but if somehow Tampa craps the bed, do you think Brady's going to go up and shake Mac Jones's hand?
I thought, I'm sorry, your phone's not good enough for me to continue. Is there also a trap game element to the Bucs next week? And not that, you know, not that Josh Uche is all, you know, wrapped up or invested in Brady versus Bill. I just picked him out of a hat. You know, it's like the vast majority of players on this roster have no skin in the game, Brady v. Bill. But it's still kind of a big night. And is there any sort of trap game element there to this game with the Saints?
I doubt it, but there better not be, because the Patriots can't afford to slip up here. If all of a sudden they lose this game and then lose to the Bucs, you're 1-3, good luck.
Yeah, and look, at the end of the day, the person who has the most invested in that game is Bill. Okay, Bill. So if they have some sort of letdown, that's kind of an indictment on Bill's one week at a time thing, one game at a time, one play at a time. He's excelled at that in terms of keeping his players focused for 20 years. That's been one of his real strengths, give or take a lapse here and there.
Do you think Bill's holding things back for the Bucs in week four?
Yes.
Me too. Me too, I do.
Defensively, yes.
Okay, so yes.
Yeah, but I mean, as a whole, and maybe a little bit.
Offensively, yes.
Wait,
offensively,
you think all of a sudden the Patriots, after 20 years, are going to all of a sudden have these new tricks up their sleeve? They always do the same thing every year defensively. Just a matter of when they call things.
Well, they're waiting to call them in week four.
And I'll tell you the other thing is...
Yeah, it's really going to surprise Tom. He's never seen that before.
I didn't say it would work. I'm just telling you.
If you told me that all of a sudden in week four, the Patriots started whipping the ball down the field...
Thank you.
That would not surprise
me. So this
is,
this also feeds into first and goal at the five, run it. Well, Bill loves that Mac Jones has
Bill's
not produced...
playing chess while everybody's playing checkers. He's saving it for Brady.
He's going to take the chess pieces and shove them up Bill's ass, but...
Jeez, really?
Yes, really.
This is how we get to end.
Yes, this is how we end.
Oh, wait till you try to extract a bishop out of there. that is not going to be a fun exercise, let me tell you that. I'm telling you, the way to beat Tampa is to throw the ball down the field outside the numbers, maybe even between the numbers, but to throw it down the field, that's where they're vulnerable. They're an aggressive defense. That's how Kansas City absolutely toasted them during the regular season last year.
You watch. And I'm not predicting win, Greg. I'm just telling you that you're going to come out of that game saying, well, the Pats did a bunch of things for the first time this year in that game.
For first time this year with, like, half new starters? Yes. Which is what they would do every year in week four.
You've just given nuance to a statement that you agree with, that we're going to come out of that game in
week
four.
Yes, but that's not your aim. Your aim is to get the people all riled up. Yeah, Bill's playing checkers.
Me?
Chess and checkers.
Rile people up? Yeah, that's not really riling people up. He's just saving stuff for the biggest game of the year. That's all.
No, that's my job.
It's really not that hot of a take. Greg, thanks for coming in, buddy.
Sounds good.
See you later, big boy.
Next Tuesday for the big boy. Speaking of Brady and the Bucs in week four, the tension continues to ramp up and the temperature continues to go up, and it will continue to today. The latest on Brady v. Bill coming up after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Mass Golf. Join over 87,000 golfers in Massachusetts by becoming a member today. By joining, you'll get an official USGA handicap, which helps level the playing field. Learn more by visiting massgolf.org. The tee is yours.